Welcome to the Indian Newslink podcast series, Meditation for Mental Health.
Greetings from Indian Newslink. Welcome to another episode of Indian Newslink podcast and videocast. We now have Swami Tadananda of the Ramakrishna Vedanta Center. We spoke about the origins of the Vedanta Center or the Ramakrishna movement in 1897 in Kolkata, and how it has spread to be an international movement, and the establishment of the Vedanta Center in Auckland with Swami Tadananda as the head in Auckland, who comes here with a large amount of experience that he has gained in Fiji, in Australia, and he's here to enrich the well-being of people in New Zealand. Swamiji, welcome to the second podcast to speak about the Vedanta Center and the activities that you have planned to help people who are in need of help in New Zealand, which is to enhance their spiritual, physical, intellectual, mental well-being. Last episode, Swamiji, we spoke about the activities of the Vedanta Center elsewhere in the world, and in Fiji, and we invite you to give us an insight into what the center is planning in New Zealand with your new project that you have undertaken. Over to you, Swamiji.
Thank you, Venkat Bhai, and welcome to our listeners, where we are sharing with you our vision and mission for the people of New Zealand, how we can work together in the space of mental well-being. So, we talked about the organization, and at this point, I would like to just mention to our listeners our philosophy of serving. We are not there to help you. We are more there to help you help yourself. Swami Vivekananda, who is our inspiration, said, "All the wealth in the world cannot help a single village unless people are taught to stand on their own feet." So we don't propose that we are going to help you, we are going to serve you, but you are going to learn from us maybe some tools by which you can help yourself. That is our sort of approach. We want you to be independent, we want to be standing on your own feet and be happy, productive, enjoy life, have a fruitful life and experience here. Now, as you know, this problem of well-being is all-pervasive. No community, no age group, no gender is spared in this. And it's not very well spoken about because of the stigma that might be there associated with mental well-being. So the depth of the problem is not really known. So one person, one organization can never be the solution. And that's why our approach is a population-based approach, where we propose to work with organizations, people out there in the community, to serve them, to help them, to be stronger, to be more resilient. So first, the two components of what we have to offer. One is the ancient wisdom that comes out of the scientific study of the mind and the human being itself, which was a study for thousands of years undertaken by the Vedic rishis, while our modern day scientists are going out and exploring the external space. These spiritual scientists went inside and explored the inner space of a human being, beyond the body, beyond the mind, beyond the emotions, beyond the ego. They came across face to face as a direct experience with an entity which they call the soul or the self of a human being, which is the common substratum, the ocean out of which we as individual waves have come, are supported, and to which we return. Now, the wonderful thing about this Atman or the soul is that it is eternal, it is immortal, it is pure, it is perfect. It is the very essence of peace, beauty, purity, goodness, That is the divine birthright of each and every individual. Externally, we are male, female, black, brown, white, and all the things that people have in their biodata about themselves. That's only the apparent man. The real human being, the real spiritual being is something far much more sublime and wonderful. And so you can understand the wonderful beauty of our approach is that we have to just help people and share this knowledge, how they can help themselves by connecting with their own higher self. And when they're connected to that powerhouse, they can draw from it all they need. Knowledge, peace, joy, meaning, purpose, and all those things that are there within them already. That's the important thing. And so this is the knowledge part of it. We call it the Vedanta. Vedanta, the essence of the Vedas, says that man, a human being, is a divine being, a spiritual being having a human experience. And the human aspect covers the divine. And in ignorance, he or she does not know that. And that's where the cause of all problems are there. Whether it's mental, spiritual, that is the essence of the core of our issues. And the solution lies knowing that. And not only knowing that, applying that in our everyday life. So it's not something that we philosophize about only, or it's not something that is part of our everyday prayer and meditation as a spiritual thing and has nothing to do with our everyday life. No, life is one. We divide it as a secular, spiritual, or worldly, that is for our own convenience of understanding and talking about it. But it's one entity. And in the words of Swami Vivekananda, when he took this Vedanta to the West, he said, "My ideal can indeed be put into a few words, and that is to preach unto mankind its divinity and how to make it manifest in every movement of life." That second part is also very important. Whatever we are doing in whichever profession, let that be charged, energized by the spiritual power that is within us. So it's not a thing that we go to a temple or a church on a particular day. No, this world itself is a spiritual, can be transformed into a spiritual journey, or life can be transformed into a spiritual journey in the light of this Vedanta teachings. And that's where its universality has come. On top of that, anyone is free to practice whatever faith they have. And if they don't have a faith, if they're an atheist, they are equally would be able to apply these teachings in their life. You don't need to belong to any creed or religion to practice the knowledge that we are sharing. So that in our approach, Venkat Bhai, there are two parts of it. One is the sharing of the knowledge. And the second is, so with that, individuals can come across this knowledge through our online solutions. The reason we have selected that, so that accessibility is there. People far and wide, not only here in Auckland or New Zealand, anywhere in the world should be able to access that very easily.
Yeah, Swamiji, there you are mentioning about the difference between exploring the outer space by scientists and physical scientists and those who are exploring the inner space, the spiritual scientists. The difference is that the external exploration can have as many people as possible, international cooperation, etc. Whereas the internal is more personal. It's more individual, isn't it? So that is where the help factor comes, because everyone is not able to realize what they want to do, how they can discover themselves.
Yes, of course, collaborative knowledge is very, very good, like in a scientific research at universities, in organizations, groups of people put their heads together and work together. In the spiritual dimension also, in the ancient days, the spiritual seekers, the monks, some of them would be in their own mountain caves and forests meditating, but others would be there nurturing, helping and supporting each other. And that's how various spiritual organizations, monasteries came, because people, you can share your knowledge with others, the beginners on the journey, and that is better than just doing things on your own. So that's why we need to work together. Ultimately, no one can help us unless we learn to help ourselves, basically. And this knowledge is the birthright for every human being. And we share that. If it appeals to somebody, we don't say believe it. If you have faith in yourself, it's very interesting, the definition of being an atheist, you know, at this point I'd like to mention, especially when the census is taken, some 60% of the population claim that they don't believe in any God, external God out there, or some formal religion. It's interesting to, at this point, hear what Swami Vivekananda said about atheism. He said, the old religion said he's an atheist who does not believe in God, some external God. The new religion, Vedanta, says that he's an atheist who does not believe in himself. And from that point of view, I don't think there's really an atheist. Everyone does believe in a better dimension or better aspect of themselves. If we approach somebody and say, forget about any God, we don't use even the word God or any ism. We just say, look, you are at the spiritual dimension, you are an eternal immortal being. Your essential nature is infinite existence, knowledge, bliss. You are the abode of peace, purity, beauty, goodness, all that. I don't think anyone will say, I don't want to believe that, don't tell me that, because this is the truth about everyone else. So that is, if one has that much belief, that is all that is necessary. The rest is then, how do we know a little bit more about it and how to access that? So that's where its universality is there. At the same time, they can continue whatever faith they're born in. They can utilize it to go to the next level in their spiritual journey, in their meditation. So we are here not to disturb anyone's faith. Maintain that. If you're a Christian, be a better Christian. If you're a Hindu, be a better Hindu. If you're a Muslim, be a better Muslim. Go in the direction that you have already started. But when we meet at the common point, we find that the same being whom we call Absolute, Father in Heaven, God, Bhagwan, they're different names of the same being, who is our own higher self at the end of the day. It's not some being sitting on the clouds type of thing. So, yes, Venkat Bhai, coming back to that, so this is the gift of the spiritual scientists into this material scientists, or physical scientists sort of in the world. So, coming back to this, how are you going to share this knowledge? I was just touching about the technology that is there nowadays, the smartphones and devices throughout the world. In the olden days, you know, it printed, or radio or TVs would be the means to reach out people. Now, information dissemination can go out so quickly. And so we use that tool to our advantage. And so what we are proposing to do is to set up a digital platform in which, in a very rational, scientific way, non-religious way, we'll put these ideas that we have culled from the spiritual sciences, so to say, and understand what the mind is about. Because there's a lot of difference between how the doctors or the medical scientists and even the modern scientists understand the mind. There are various theories that it's a product of the brain activity, thinking and consciousness. They call it the heart problem of consciousness, and they have a lot of debates in books and happening there. While our ancient Vedic teachers say, no, we are the universal self-existent infinite ocean of consciousness in the first place, which has now become embodied by putting on a spiritual body, a mental body, and a physical body. So that one is starting from matter and trying to say there's some consciousness. The other is saying we are that consciousness that has become materialized. And that's the difference, I think, in the approach between the two. So in our sharing of the knowledge, we will introduce and share how these things are not philosophies that were cooked up by some armchair philosophers sitting in a university. These were experiences of people who dive deep within themselves, not one person or two person, repeatedly over thousands of years, again and again and again verified. And it invites people to explore their own self and discover that, and not just to believe. You can start with a belief, but it doesn't say just stop there. You have to experience it yourself. That's where the strength of these teachings are there. So we will share the knowledge part of it through online, along with various forms of guided meditation. Something for beginners, something for intermediate, something for advanced. Knowledge will also be sort of we don't want to overwhelm people with a lot of detailed information right in the beginning. Just like we have a school, primary school, secondary school, university, we understand that in the spiritual journey, people are in different stages of growth, and therefore, we'll try to work with our stakeholders. It's not that we are going to design it. We will have the principle, the application part, we'll work with the people we are going to talk about. So it's a training of trainers program. And as I mentioned, we would like to partner with organizations, people who can share this knowledge in the circle of they're working with. So there are five categories of target people that we think we can work in. One are the parents who work so hard to bring up children, provide them food, clothing, shelter, send them to school, education. We want to empower them to have a deeper understanding of themselves and the child that is there in front of them, who is not only a physical, mental being, but sort of more of an emotional, moral, and spiritual being. And how that could be an old soul transmigrating, so to say, has come into their family. So we have to put all those information nicely and then understand what the mind is, how knowledge is formed, how knowledge is stored, what are the different states of the mind, what controls the mind, where is the power that illumines the thoughts within us. Does it come from the external world, from internal? This type of knowledge we think we can share through technology, through podcasts, through talks and notes through a course. And that's what we propose to do. But if somebody is to be trained to be a meditation instructor, then they would need to learn the nuances of being a meditation teacher. And the best teacher is one who practices, so that they don't teach theoretically, they teach out of their own experience. So to give them a genuine, solid taste of what meditation is in an environment where it convinces them, so that when they go out there, they teach out of their own experience more than quoting us, so to say. And for that purpose, you're seeing behind me a picture of a property that we have purchased in Glenmurray, Waikato, south of Auckland. Further south of Auckland district. And this is a beautiful property that we have identified after searching all around Auckland. It's 125 acres with 50 acres of natural forest there, facing north, sloping. Some existing infrastructure is there so that we can hit the ground running. The rest we will develop in time. And ultimately, the vision is that this will be a place with facilities, infrastructure, where we can house and accommodate up to, say, 30 people at a time. And imagine these are teachers coming from various parts of the country. They have completed the online study. Here they come and spend an intensive 7 days of immersion into the program. Just like, you know, the Vipassana.
Before you proceed, can you give us a little more insight into the new property in Waikato, how big it is, how do you propose to bring people there to train people, as you say, training the trainers, and is there a program, when do you propose to start, those kind of details, so that our listeners and viewers will be very keen to know.
So we have done the initial paperwork. Our settlement of the property is by 31st of May this year, 2024. Yeah. It costs $2.2 million. And we are in the process of raising funds for that. We are a charity. So any donations to our organization, donors are eligible for tax exemptions and all that. So once we move in there, there is some existing infrastructure that you can see, which we will modify, work with the council, get the permissions and all those things so that we can get the things rolling and have some demonstration of what we are trying to showcase to the public. This is what the program is there. And then as funds come in, we will develop the stages of developing, building proper accommodation and other facilities, for example, a proper meditation hall, accommodation for up to 30 people, classrooms, dining space, and whatever is necessary that goes around into a proper wellness center. And so the program, the digital part, of course, doesn't require the property things that will, it's in the process of being in the development. And by the time we come to the middle of the year, hopefully we'll have something rolling out June, July, or August. There might be some initial work necessary to modify the existing structure to suit our needs to start off the project.
So, as you negotiate the property deal and as facilities are set up there, would you commence the program at your Newlyn West Auckland Center already?
Yes. Well, this online part that will roll on. Already we have started in some small way, testing out the voters through podcasts, through our online system, through online classes and all that. We don't want to design a program totally from our end, Venkat Bhai. We want to work with the people so that they are part of the design of the project. I think that's very important. Otherwise, you know, it might not be totally relevant. We can talk a little bit in more detail about that, because I think that's very important for our listeners, people out there who might be interested in this project, to have a sense that they can be contributors to this project, not that there's a ready-made package and they have to just take it, or it's a flexible type of thing, and we want to have that very serious interactive partnerships that maybe we can take that up in our next podcast.
Sure. Now, Swamiji, we've come almost to the end of the podcast, and we have Jacob Banotra, Managing Director and Publisher of Indian Newsling. Jacob, would you like to add to what Swamiji has been saying about the new center and the program, because you are a part of the trustees? Jacob
is not there right now, I think.
Yeah, okay.
Probably we'll ask him to come into the next podcast.
Okay, Swamiji, then please give us a concluding statement and we'll catch up again later.
I think...
Yes, sir, I will call you back.
Jacob?
I was in call came, so just
okay. So we will, Daryl, this is the place you will cut off and take something out, and I will now just give a concluding part to this second episode. All right, so you can start here. Thank you, Venkat. It was nice discussing a little bit about the project that we have in mind for New Zealand. It's a training of trainees program. It is geared to work with, in collaboration with people. We want communities and users of this program to help us in the co-design so that it is relevant to them. We talked about the two aspects of it. One is a digital online platform through which the knowledge part will be disseminated. And the second is an actual wellness center where we will train the trainers by giving them a proper immersion and experience of the practice of meditation in a quiet, suitable, serene environment so that they can take it back to their schools, to their business houses, to their communities, to their medical facilities, and share it with the people that they serve.
Yeah. Thank you very much, Swamiji. And In the next episode, we hope to hear some more details about the new center and who are the people involved and how you propose to go about organizing activities for the center. Thank you very much, Swamiji. And we sign off here. Thank you.
Thank you, Venkat Bhai.
Dear listeners and viewers of Indian Newslink, if you are able to, please donate to the cause so that we can help improve the mental well-being of our New Zealand community. Links for the Give a Little page are available in the episode notes or description box below. Thank you and have a wonderful day. Thank you for listening to the Indian Newslink podcast series Meditation for Mental Health.